I chose Perseus and Andromeda. There's a lot of action going on in this piece. The lines, the textures, the movement, really beautiful. There's a skull on the ground, some bones. There's a creature in the background coming out of the water. I can feel the movement, whether it's the water or the horse in the background flying. Her arms spread across the mountain that she's laying by. There's someone riding the flying horse, fighting for her or protecting her. She's on some kind of battlefield, but she is prevailing and she is standing tall. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I can feel her through the art, which is very cool. The drama in her face. She has a lot of passion in her face, which I can resonate with. I'm very passionate about everything that I do in my life. She's in charge. She's standing very confidently, very open with her body. Being a female entrepreneur, starting my own business, this spoke to me. She stands so tall, so beautifully, which really inspired me.
My name is Christian D. Bruhn. I'm the director of Dana's Originals, the podcast series created in partnership with the American Friends of the National Gallery of Denmark. Our goal is to celebrate Danish creatives who have made a significant mark in the U.S. Today, our guest is Natasha Fisker, a Danish-Brazilian founder in the self-care industry and a chief growth officer in the fashion resale industry. Welcome, Natasha.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for speaking with us here in your family's home in Los Angeles. Do you want to tell us a little bit about where we are and what part of town we're in?
Yes. So we are currently in West Hollywood in Los Angeles, and it's currently, I believe, around 80 degrees. It's been so warm out these days, and it's midwinter, so we are very blessed. And yeah, we're here at my family's home and just feeling excited and grateful. Yeah.
Excellent. Let's dive into it. So it's here on a Sunday morning, and as you said, the sun is shining, and it's super nice and warm in LA. Life is not half bad in LA in this weather. Did you sleep well last night?
I did. I slept amazing. And that is because I used my sleep patch and I did my mouth tape, which helps me get a great night's sleep every evening.
Excellent. We need to know a lot more about that. You're the founder of a new company called Checked Out, described as where sleep meets science and mornings begin with transformation. That sounds super nice. Can you tell us more about it?
With Checked Out, it's basically all revolved around sleep. So it's all products that are designed to help you get a better night's sleep. So, you know, our saying is wellness that works overnight. So right now, you know, health, wellness, longevity are all key factors that people are really bringing into their everyday routine. And what ties that in is having a good night's sleep. You know, sleep is for the masses, obviously. It's for everyone. We all need sleep and we all need a good night's sleep too. So when I decided to start Checked Out, that was something that was very valuable to me. I'm very into health and wellness, and getting a good night's sleep is key to your overall health. So I was thinking, okay, what can I do within the health and wellness space to improve sleep? So that's where Checked Out came into play. And the name is, you know, you're checked out for the night, you're checked out for the weekend, and it's really about checking out before you go to bed. So all the products are designed around helping you get a better night's sleep. And I can get into those products too.
Let's definitely talk a little bit more about that. I know that, as you say, everybody is into health these days. A big part of it is with fitness when you're awake. But anybody who cares about their body, of course, is also concerned about what goes into their bodies. Talk a little bit about some of the science-backed ingredients that are in Checked Out.
Yeah, definitely. So what's really great about our ingredients is, you know, we're staying away from melatonin. We're staying away from ingesting, you know, the gummies and all those things. So we have a sleep patch that is applied topically. So that's applied, you know, on your skin. You put it on your arm or on your neck. And what's infused in the sleep patch is magnesium, L-theanine, GABA, all natural ingredients. So like I said, no melatonin. No having to take any sleep pills, no Xanax. So everything's healthy and everything's all natural. All of our products are made in South Korea. They make the best products in beauty and skincare and health and wellness. And then for our mouth tape, that is infused with collagen, peptides, and then it's made with the hydrocolloid material. That's actually the same material that's used to make the pimple patch, so you won't break out. Because when you mouth tape, you're putting it over your mouth, and some people have experienced breakouts or rashes. Ours does not do that for you. It instead acts as a lip mask, essentially, and then it's infused with collagen peptides, so it moisturizes your lips. It helps reduce wrinkles and fine lines. There's so many benefits to mouth taping while you sleep.
I'm new to mouth tape. I don't know much about it. So tell me, what does it do and how did that come about?
So mouth taping recently became very popular in the past couple years. It's for men and women. Generally, you're not supposed to sleep with your mouth open. So mouth taping obviously helps you sleep with your mouth shut. And that is because when your mouth is open, you're letting bacteria come inside your mouth. So there's many benefits to mouth taping. Even just for breathing purposes, it's much better to breathe through your nose while you're sleeping. It helps reduce snoring.
Going to say.
Yeah. It's actually great for men. I tell all the girls, I'm like, if you want your man to stop snoring, I would highly suggest this mouth tape. So that's also a benefit. It's a lot of helping with facial structure. It also helps actually define your jawline more as well, because once again, you're sleeping with your mouth shut and your mouth isn't open and it stops that double chin squeezing against your neck. And then of course, it does help with the overall breathing. A lot of people get nervous. What if I'm congested or I'll stop breathing through my nose? Our mouth tape has a very small hole in the middle for those who get nervous, so you feel safe.
Sounds like a whole new way of staying healthy. So tell me how it all came about. I know that people are into health and we're in Los Angeles where that is at the top of it. But were you walking down the street one day and said, this is what I'm going to do?
Yeah. So, you know, I've always been into health and wellness. I eat very healthy. My routines are very healthy. I really wanted to get into the health and wellness space and potentially beauty as well. And then I just was looking at my overall lifestyle. And I went one day to my stepmom. We're both very passionate about health and wellness. And we were talking and I had mentioned wanting to get into health and wellness. And I was telling her also about my Oura ring that I wear every day that tracks my sleep. And we were just brainstorming and I was like, you know, no one's really owning the sleep space right now. There's not one company that you're like, oh, let me go to get my sleep products. There's a lot of beauty companies. There's a lot of makeup companies. There's medical, you know, all these things, but there's not one brand that's really owning the sleep space. So I was like, why don't we start a company revolved around sleep and revolved around getting a good night's sleep? Let's make products for sleep. Let's make merchandise for sleep. Let's have fun with it. And she was like, you know what? Yes, let's do it. And with my past working and traveling as much as I do, sleep is really integral. And that is something that really inspired me as well. I was like, when I'm traveling constantly, sleep is super important. So what can help me there? And then in the past, I found that I didn't get enough sleep. And that was something that I really wanted to improve in my own life too. And I think many people can relate to that. So that's what really inspired me.
Right. Yeah, we're all way too busy and sleep way too little. So it must have been exciting to get into this whole thing from a science perspective. How did you find your collaborators and how did you get into the science behind it?
Yeah, so we found our manufacturer in South Korea through a connection, which we're very grateful for. You know, we did know that South Korea, they really are the best of the best in making these products and in beauty and health and wellness. We did a lot of testing. So, you know, this didn't just happen overnight. You know, we've been working on this for, I would say, about a year now. We did lots of testing with our manufacturer. They tested on hundreds of people. You know, we had testing here in LA. So we went through many iterations. With our mouth tape, it took a very long time to get the mouth tape perfect. There was many moments when the mouth tape didn't stick enough, you know, or it was too sticky, or it was this, that, or it didn't look right, or the shape was wrong. So we had, you know, lots of trial and error. And then same with the sleep patch. We really wanted to make sure the ingredients worked as well, which it absolutely does. It works wonders. It definitely took a lot of testing. And as you mentioned, the scientific background, the ingredients were really core and really important. You know, magnesium, L-theanine. L-theanine is great for longevity, GABA, all these ingredients, naturally sourced ingredients. That was really, really important.
That's great. So you have the sleep patch, the mouth tape, and a 3D sleep mask. Are there other things in the package of Checked Out?
Yeah. So right now, our two hero products are the sleep patch and the mouth tape. And then we have, you know, some merchandise products, like we have a 3D sleep eye mask. And that eye mask blocks out all the light. You know, you can travel with it. You can sleep with it at home. Also 3D, because it doesn't lay flat on your eyes, so it doesn't crush your eyelashes. You know, men might not care about that as much, but with women, you know, we just don't want our eyelashes to be pressed flat. It's also just more comfortable. This year, we'll also be launching some other products that we're very excited about too.
So you're very busy, which is a great thing to be. You're also with fashion app Button. It was founded in 2023. What's Button? Tell us about that.
Yes. So Button, our co-founder, her name is Molly. She's amazing. We actually got connected through a friend. She started this app called Button. And basically what it is, it's your fashion AI digital assistant. So what you do with this app is you go, you sign in, you put your email in, and then basically Button pulls all of your receipts from your email and digitizes your closet for you. So it pulls all of your receipts of your purchase history. So there you then can see your closet digitally. And then Button also helps you resell. So it helps you list these items on Poshmark, eBay, Depop, but it does it for you. So I don't know if you're familiar with relisting, but a lot of women and men, you know, resell clothing on eBay, you know, Poshmark, Depop, and it's very tedious. You know, you have to go find it in your closet, take photos of the item, you have to upload it, you have to write the description, the size, yada, yada. But Button, what it does is, you know, it already makes your digital closet for you. And then on top of that, it automatically will help you list that item and it'll input everything for you. So it pulls, oh, you know, I bought this t-shirt. It was a size small. It pulls all the photos. It pulls the description, does it all for you. So you don't have to spend hours looking through your closet, you know, figuring out what's the size, what's the name of this shirt. So that's what the app does. And then we're also making people's closets be shoppable. So you'll also be able to look at your friend's closet and be like, oh, I like that shirt. Where can I buy it? And Button will tell you, oh, she bought it here. And you can go shop her closet as well. So there's a lot of fun features. It's becoming its own fashion marketplace too.
Tell your friends to update their wardrobe and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I do know the eBay listing. It is super tedious. Yes. So this all exists within the Button app universe. So it's all just in there. You buy it directly through the app.
So it's all within Button. And Button is a free platform, by the way. And we have partnerships with Poshmark, eBay, Depop, which is really great too. So we're integrated within those. So we'll directly connect to your Poshmark account, to your eBay account, and help you quick list your items so that you can resell.
No, that's great. That's very exciting. I want to talk a little bit more about fashion retail. So what are the trends? Technology plays a big part, not only for the sale of a new item, but also reselling, like you do with Button, for the secondary market. So what is your largest customer base? And is it specific age group, specific geographical regions?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'm heading up growth for Button. And, you know, we've been looking into our entire market. And, you know, we've had a lot of exploration of who our market is. And it's funny, every day we're discovering a new kind of market. For example, you know, originally we thought it was younger females who are in the fashion space, which it is. That's a huge market for us. Younger females who love fashion, but also need to afford their lifestyles and constantly buying clothes. So they are often reselling. But then it's also stay-at-home moms, you know, who love to shop and who love fashion, but who also don't want to waste money and want to resell and earn cash back. And then we do have actually quite a few males too. They resell their clothes. You know, they might not be as vocal about it, but they do. So yeah, the market, it's pretty broad. But I will say a lot of the fashion girlies is the main market that we tap into, because they're the ones who also build their social media off of doing this. It's crazy. We have some of our super users, they earn $100,000 a year just from reselling clothes, which I think is pretty crazy, if not more. Yeah, we have some super sellers. It's incredible.
Wow. I made a film about 10 years ago about blue jeans and collectors, and especially Japanese super collectors and high-end fashion jeans. We actually started working on an app for all the collectors, and especially women who had, at that time, fashion jeans of all kinds. Technology in the market wasn't quite there for it. But I'm certainly aware that collecting and reselling fashion is a huge market, and people really care about it.
Yeah, it definitely is. Denim is huge, absolutely. Yeah, and yeah, and you know, as we know, just going back to the market, females are definitely the biggest shoppers. I think we can all agree on that, you know, so that's definitely a huge market for us. Women are constantly buying. You know, we have some women, they'll wear something once and then they want to sell it right away, you know, or they've taken a photo in it or they just don't want it anymore. But it's a great way to earn your money back and then also be sustainable at the same time.
I was just going to say sustainable because you don't just toss things and ends up in landfills and all that. I like that. Your role with Button is Chief Growth Officer, CGO. What does that term mean and what are your tasks to do?
Yeah, so Chief Growth Officer. So my role is really growing Button, you know, as a company, getting visibility on the brand, growing our user base, which is huge. We are a startup. It's very early days. We need more signups, that brings in revenue, that brings in, you know, future partnerships. We want as many people on our app as possible. So that's been my role, doing all of that, as well as, you know, working with the founder on brand, you know, social media is something that I do as well. You can be so creative and you can do it on a budget. I'm also heading up user-generated content. So that's working with creators and having them create organic content that we put out there as well for growth purposes.
And I'm sure there are a lot of opportunities for brand collaborations within the fashion industry. It's not just all user generated.
Absolutely. Yeah. We work with a lot of different brands, but then also stylists. That's a big market for us as well, because you have a lot of these stylists who people in the fashion world look to, of course, style them and they know what's good. And it helps the stylists organize their closets, you know, or for their clients and their clientele. So they're actually great creators for us in a very organic way. I think every partnership we look at, whether it's a brand or a person, like a fashion girly, it needs to make sense. It needs to be organic. It needs to feel like when their audience is watching them, that they genuinely like the app and use the app and that the app helps them.
Right. So you've very well-versed in the potential of social media in any business venture, not limited to self-care and fashion. So I want to ask you a little bit about how social media has changed in the last 10 years in this space. It's certainly becoming increasingly saturated. What are the most effective avenues for marketing a product today? Is it Instagram and Facebook and TikTok? What are your main platforms?
Yeah, for all the companies and all the things that I do, you know, business-wise and personally, I would say TikTok and Instagram are definitely where it's at. Facebook is kind of, I would say, for the older generation, but at the same time, it's still very valuable. You know, you can obviously run ads through Facebook, but also Facebook brings together a community. You'll find a lot of community pages on Facebook, which I do think is very important for brands. So that's useful as well. But if we're really talking about, you know, getting the word out there, getting visibility, TikTok and Instagram are huge. And then TikTok Shop is something that's very big for D2C sales, you know. So for example, for Checked Out, we really want to go hard on TikTok Shop and get all the sales through there, you know, while we start as a business.
I see. I'm usually in the film industry, and it was a pretty big surprise to learn that the Oscars are going to be broadcast exclusively on YouTube in 2029. So that sort of signals a change somehow. YouTube was the big user-generated content platform. Is it still relevant for you guys?
Definitely. YouTube is definitely big. And that's something that I want to start getting into is vlogging. That's video blogging and putting out videos on YouTube. There's YouTube Shorts, which is kind of like TikTok.
Yeah,
it's shorter
right.
clips. Mm-hmm. That's also become very popular. It's absolutely huge for a business, for a brand. And then for the Oscars, yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised because I just feel now, you know, it's all streaming. You know, everything's, you know, on Netflix, YouTube, yeah, so that tracks, definitely.
And what about the influencer culture? It seems influencers have now surpassed celebrities in terms of promoting things and being visible to the public.
Yeah, I think it's very fascinating, the influencer culture. Anyone now can pretty much be an influencer, depending on how committed you are to it. I do believe, though, the key is to be authentic to who you are or to your brand. I think if things seem or feel forced, it can come off as inauthentic. But I do think it's fascinating how, yes, influencers have gained huge following. And some influencers are, quote unquote, more famous than celebrities. You know, I think they're very different, though. You know, I think if you're a film celebrity, you're just kind of at a different, I don't know if caliber is the right word, but, you know, if you see you know, Tom Cruise, for example, you know, he doesn't have as big of a following on Instagram as Alex Earle, right? But everybody knows who Tom Cruise is. You know, he's an icon. He's done amazing films. He's very respected. So they're just very different. And influencers, they're influencing, right? They're kind of selling products. I think celebrities, they're acting. They have a true talent, and that's being on film. And influencers are promoting brands, products, showcasing lifestyle. They have their niches. It really is fascinating how influencers have kind of come into this whole orbit and build following and all that.
Right, right. And I guess you get sort of a personal glimpse into influencers' life, or their whole platform is basically themselves, as you say, to be authentic. Whereas Tom Cruise, he's famous for playing other people, for being a slightly untouchable movie star in a different universe where influencers are the people that you're engaging with directly.
Exactly. I think you nailed it. I think, you know, the celebrity Tom Cruise is almost out of reach, right? And he's the actor. And then you've got the influencer who is relatable. You know, I think people want to follow, almost kind of relate, but then also be like, oh, that's cool. And just follow and see what other people are doing in their everyday lives and what products are they using and how do they look the way they look or do what they do. And yeah.
You can insert yourself in that world.
Yeah.
Let's go back a bit to the beginning. You are an immigrant to the US with a Danish father and a Brazilian mother and a bonus mom, or as we call it in Danish, or a stepmom in American culture who's Indian.
Yes.
So I imagine your definition of being Danish is rather multicultural. What was your childhood like, and where did you grow up, and when did you arrive in the US?
Yeah, so yes, quite the mix. My childhood, I was actually born in Germany. Mm-hmm. So at the time, my father was working there, and that's just where I happened to be born. We were there for a few years, and then we moved to the US for a couple years. We had to move for his career. And then we moved to the UK, to London, for a few years until I was around 10 years old. And then we came to the US, where my father started a new business venture and then stayed here. So I used to have a British accent. I no longer do, obviously, because I moved here when I was 10 years old. But that would be cool if I still had it. But yeah, you mentioned my mom, my father, my stepmom, they're all very international. So that's definitely inspired me in many different ways. And I grew up every summer going to camp in Switzerland because my mom's side of the family is also Swiss. So yeah, I think it's really important to be international and to go to other parts of the world. I think that's definitely shaped me as a person in my life.
It's good to learn from other people and see other cultures. And so now that you are on Danish Originals, did you spend some summers or time in Denmark as a child? What are your memories of Denmark?
Yeah, I'm half Danish because my dad is full Danish. I do not speak the language. It is a very tough language, I will say. Whenever he speaks it, I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. You know, it's funny. We went there when I was a baby, so I didn't remember it. But then recently, a few years ago, I went back for the first time. I met up with my aunt, my dad's sister, and she showed me the home that they grew up in as children, which was really sweet. You know, she showed me the main areas of Denmark, you know, and I love it. I mean, Denmark's beautiful. It's also very, I felt it was very health oriented. The food was good. They had a lot of pokey. I was very surprised, you know, just some interesting things that I was like, oh, wow. And all the people are very kind. And yeah, I would love to go back and do a proper longer trip. But I definitely grew up with some of the key Danish things. You know, my father, every Christmas, he makes risalama.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
That's good. With the almond.
Yes. So the winner, you know, whoever would find the whole almond would win a prize, usually money or something creative. And then, you know, the flatbread sandwiches is something too. And yeah, and then, you know, I never had a chance to learn Danish. You know, unfortunately, here in LA, not many people speak Danish.
We can work on that a little bit.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
I'll teach you a few words.
I will say, at least from my experience, I think Danes are very kind people with a very positive energy, which I've always noticed in my dad. He's very positive, always happy. And I kind of gauged that when I went to Denmark. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're all like this, you know?
Happiest country in the world, just, right?
Yeah, exactly. that speaks true. And then also one thing, you know, my father would always tell me about his childhood and, you know, he had big dreams and Denmark's a smaller town and he really wanted to pursue those dreams. And oftentimes, you know, people told him, oh, it's not possible. but he did make it happen. And I think going back and just seeing a smaller town, different place, because even living here in LA, right, it's so international. There's so many different people. It's so big. But, you know, just going back and seeing, okay, yeah, the little house he grew up in, this little town. And, you know, it's just, it's very interesting. But it was also very inspiring. I think Danish architecture and design is very beautiful. I actually think you Danes, the Danish people, you guys are tastemakers for design. I really do. I think you guys started the whole contemporary, modern, clean look of things, whether it's furniture, architecture. I think that's something that Denmark really started and has nailed. That's really beautiful in my eyes.
Right. Certainly a lot of things in the last 20, 30 years, the country has changed a lot. The best restaurants are now in Copenhagen, all the design, as you say, even film and television is now incredibly successful. It's interesting to hear you, as somebody who is half Danish, experience that.
Yeah, the food too, just going off of that as well. I mean, I think the food in Europe in general is just amazing, but exactly in Denmark too, it's fresh produce. It's probably from the farm down the road, you know, it just feels so clean, so good, all fresh, natural, organic ingredients, which I love. You know, I'm into health and wellness. That was something too, that the food is exquisite there and very well thought.
And just remind me again, so when did you move to the US?
So yeah, we moved here when I was around 10 years old.
10 years old.
Yeah. And then we would go back to Europe every summer. And, you know, so it's been nice that I have my friends that I grew up with here, you know, in Newport Beach and Orange County. But then I also have a whole friend group in Europe as well, which I'm very grateful for.
Do you have cousins in Denmark?
I do. I have cousins in Denmark. Okay. So that's my father's sister, my aunt, her kids.
That's fun. Yeah. And have they been to visit in the US?
Yeah. My aunt came one Christmas, which was super fun. She came with her husband and their kids, my cousins, and we had a blast. And they were all so excited. Obviously, it's very cold in Denmark in the winters, so they were loving the LA weather in the pool. It's nice.
That's great. It's good to keep in touch with family.
Definitely.
Back in the old country. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
Well, Natasha, this was really fun chatting with you and talking to you about your businesses. Congratulations on all the success and fun things you're venturing out on. And thank you for being part of Danish Originals.
Absolutely. Thank you. It was so lovely chatting with you.
For today's episode, Natasha Fisker chose Perseus og Andromeda, or Perseus and Andromeda, by an unknown artist from 1601 to 1652 from the collection of the National Gallery of Denmark. You've been listening to Danish Originals, a podcast series that spotlights Danes who have made a significant impact in the U.S. in the areas of creativity, originality, and innovation. The series is directed by Christian D. Brun and hosted by Tina Jung Christensen, along with Gregers Herring, Asker Hussein, Finolf Jones, Nikolai Rotbol, and Carsten Solchuk Shack. It is produced by Teresa Lai, mastered by Sean Hedinger and Greg Williams, with original music by Joachim Svarm and executive produced by Christian D. Brun and Tina Jung Christensen. We invite you to subscribe to Danish Originals wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode, we ask you to share it with others, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review that will encourage others to listen. To stay in touch, you can also find us on danishoriginals.com and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Danish Originals is a fiscally sponsored project of Nordic Concepts Institute. We thank our supporters for seasons 1 to 10, who include founding sponsor American Friends of Statens Museum for Kunst, inaugural sponsor Studio Haslund, and sponsor Scan Design Foundation. We are additionally grateful to Scandinavian Airlines for featuring select episodes on their in-flight programming on long-haul flights. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next week.